Looks like that's our cue. Welcome everyone to the audit committee meeting being held here on December 11th at 5:30 p.m. We got I guess the agenda I'm looking at tells me to do a roll call. It's kind of hard on Zoom, but we got Robin Meekham, we got Nate Plaisir. We got Mr. Hatterley, our auditor. We got Mark Sarbuckle. We got who else do we got here?
Got Matt Layton.
Matt Layton. Did I cover everybody? Did I miss
Brent.
anybody on the roll call? Who?
Brent.
Brent Hansen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right at the end of the arrow, Brent, as I
Yeah.
went along. So.
You're good.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. That calling out the names is should satisfy the requirement to do the roll call. Our purpose of this meeting is to go over our annual audit. We're pleased to have our auditor here and also Marcus, who helped put the audit together. I'm going to turn it over to Nate to give us any introductions. Nate, you can go where you want to go with it. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great. Thank you, Mayor. No, just as you mentioned, we have finished our annual audit, and we now have our act for the annual comprehensive financial report with our independent auditor's report. And before I let John discuss what he wants to and kind of discuss what he's found throughout the audit, I just want to give a quick thank you to not only the staff here at Centerville, but to Marcus and Keddington and Christensen and his staff for compiling this. It's a lot of work to compile it, and he does a great job. And also wanted to thank John and his staff. We have a great working relationship with the folks at Larson and Company, and they do a great job in their audit. And so we're really appreciative of them and helping us get through this. So yeah, with that, we'll turn it over to John and let him discuss what he'd like.
Okay. I think first I'll just let you know kind of what we'll kind of go over in the council meeting. It won't actually be me that comes up. It's going to be Martha from our Salt Lake office. I've got a couple other meetings that night, and she said that she's willing to hop over there and just present. She'll probably be pretty brief. She's just going to go over the opinions. So basically what I'll go over right now, but after that, just probably want to talk about a couple of things that happened in the audit this year, what to look for next year, and then if Marcus wants to jump in and give more information on that, he can. So first, do you want me to share my screen? Would it be
That'd be
better if you
great.
guys could see what I'm looking at? All right. You guys all see that?
I got it. Everybody else okay?
Okay.
Sounds like we're
So
good.
this is the first page of the audit report. This first section is our opinion section. The first paragraph just outlines that we've finished the audit for 2025. The second paragraph is the opinion paragraph. I mean, we can go through and read it. Basically, our job as auditors is to give an opinion to make sure that your financial statements are fairly presented, and they're in line with GAAP. It's an unmodified or an unqualified opinion. Unmodified just means that we haven't had to modify the language of this report because of something that came up in the audit that we couldn't get past, as far as our test work, or there's misstatements in the financial statements that weren't adjusted. Those types of things cause us to modify the language in the audit report. So that's why it's an unmodified report. Pretty basic standard. So this now we're gonna hop down to the bottom. The next report we're required to issue just outlines that we performed your audit in accordance with government auditing standards, and those standards require that we look at your internal controls. We don't test your controls in a large enough sample size like we do the financial statements. So we don't give an opinion on the controls, but what we're looking for is A, you have controls in place, and B, they're actually functioning the way they're intended to function. Specifically, what we're looking at for our material weaknesses and significant deficiencies that are causing misstatements in the financial statements, or potentially could cause misstatements. We didn't find any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses. So we'll move on to the next report. The next report we're required to issue by the state auditor. So this is the second opinion that we give, and this opinion encompasses both your compliance with these areas right here that are outlined, as well as your controls, your over compliance. So what that entails is, in the financial statements, we don't test your controls enough to give an opinion. However, the state requires us to test your controls over compliance and include that in our opinion. So for each of these areas, we have to document what the controls are to make sure that A, you weren't out of compliance this year, and B, you're not going to be out of compliance in the upcoming years because you have those controls in place. So it's also an unmodified or an unqualified opinion. So the areas that we looked at was budgetary compliance, just making sure that you have budget integrity. Justice courts, really what we're looking for is any of the deposits that are at the justice court are reconciled back to the treasurer, hopefully on a daily, if not every couple of days basis. The fraud risk assessment, we make sure that you are going over the fraud risk assessment, both management and then presented to the council, that you're going through each of those areas, that you're marking the correct answers, making sure that the score that you send into the state is relatively appropriate. A lot of times, what we're finding on the fraud risk assessment, especially where the Utah Local Governments Trust now, they're actually looking at your score. And so if you don't score a certain level, then they're going to drop you off their insurance. And this is, and I don't know that I really agree with that, because I don't know that this document really gives enough of a fraud risk assessment, because everybody fills out the same document. I don't know if you feel the same way, Mark, because I know we've talked about it before. But reality is, the state is still kind of holding on to this document. I think once they started scoring it, it lost its intended purpose. So I really don't put a whole lot of stock in that. What I make sure is that we go through that, and all of the questions on there, if you mark yes, then we need to have a justification as to why you marked yes. And then we should be able to test that and make sure that those controls are actually in place. We look at your fund balance, making sure that A, you don't have a deficit fund balance in any funds, and also your general fund is within the 35% limit. And then we look at restricted taxes and the restricted revenues, making sure that they're spent appropriately, that they're properly restricted as part of fund balance. And then we look at your government fees, making sure that the fees that you charge in the general fund are appropriate, they're in line with what the intent is, and that they're proportional. What they don't want to have is, I think we've talked about this before, if I come to Centerville City and you pay and you charge for people to park in your parking lot, and let's say that Brant's there for 8 hours during the day, and I come for an hour for a city council meeting, and he has to pay $15 for the day, and I also have to pay $15 for that same time period or for my 1 hour, then that's not proportional. And so they're kind of out of line with what the intended purpose is. The other issue where I've found government fees is in the schools. So a lot of the schools will charge like study abroad fees as part of your basic tuition costs. However, only about 5% of the students actually go study abroad. So all of the students are being charged this fee that they shouldn't be charged, because they're not utilizing the study abroad program. So that's kind of what the intended purpose behind the government fees is. Like I said, unmodified opinion on state compliance, no issues with the controls that are in place. I think that there are good controls in place. We know that things fall through the cracks. Sometimes there's immaterial findings. In fact, let's go over the findings right now. They're on the last page. So no findings this year. And then last year there was a budgetary compliance in the transportation fund, but that was corrected, so no issues with budgets this year. So no findings either in the financial statement findings or in state compliance. So good job, Nate and staff, for making sure that there weren't any findings. So that's really all Martha will probably go over. She probably won't go into as much detail. She'll just give the opinions and go over the reports to council. So now I just want to talk about a couple of things that happened during the audit. During the year, there were a couple of GASB pronouncements that came out. There was 102 and 103, or sorry, 101 and 102 that were required to be implemented. The first one was compensated absences. So I don't know, Marcus, how you feel about this. You can chime in, but I think they actually made it more convoluted. They made it more confusing than what it was before. They did do one thing, and I think the biggest change was just making sure that the on your compensated absences, which is basically paid time that's going to be paid in the future, or utilized in the future. What a lot of people were not doing was they were not calculating the Social Security and Medicare tax that also goes along with paying out compensation. So that 7.5% had to be added on. And then they kind of put a terminology in there of whether you had to kind of do a look back and say, okay, what's the more than likely or not scenario where this is actually going to be used in the future? If it's not likely to be used, then you don't accrue it. If it's more than likely going to be used, then you accrue it. And I think that terminology, I think a lot of people are really struggling with that. When we talked to Nate and Marcus, they already had the adjustments made. In fact, because it's a new pronouncement, then the requirement is that you have to restate prior financial statements. But the change in what this GASB did to the compensated absences was so immaterial. So we just had Marcus and Nate run it through the current year. So instead of restating prior financial statements, I think the balances were all under 5,000 in a lot of the funds. And so not a really big change. So we just ran it through the current year expenditures and we could give the same opinion. So hopefully providing a little bit less confusion rather than seeing a prior period adjustment on the financial statements. The second one that was required to be implemented was GASB 102, and that's just significant risks. So any constraints, meaning you have a constraint on your debt, which is already disclosed. If you have general obligation debt, there's a limit to how much you can have. And really, that's the only constraint that would be applicable to the city, but that's already being disclosed. The other one would be significant concentration. So if you have one single taxpayer, or if you're reliant on one single type of revenue and it's a significant portion of your revenue, then you have to disclose that now in the financial statements. Not that one really didn't have a big effect on the city, so there really isn't any mention of that in the financial statements. Just know that those were implemented. And the upcoming year is a bigger one, probably one of the better ones that has come out in recent years. And that's just the financial reporting model. So they're changing the way that the financials look in certain areas. A lot less than what they originally intended. They were talking about actually overhauling the financial statements, as much as GASB 34, which came out what 25 years ago. So I was anticipating when they first started talking about it that all of your revenue and expenditures were no longer going to be called revenue expenses. They were going to be called inflows and outflows. Everything that they were talking about was I think going to cause a lot more confusion. They keep saying that they're trying to make government financial statements be more in line or easily understandable, such as private financial statements, that the whole world understands. But everything they do, they just make it more confusing. So when 103 came out and I actually saw what was going to happen, I was actually impressed that they actually did something right. So what's going to happen that's going to change in your financial statements next year are currently you have your general fund budget schedule as part of the financial statements. That's actually going to be moved to required supplementary information. There's going to be an additional column on that schedule that shows the variance between your original and final balance. Instead of what's currently there is just a variance between the final budget and what the actual results were. And then you'll be required now to provide an explanation as to why there was a significant variance either between the original final va budgets or the final budget and the actual results. There's some proprietary fund. The proprietary statements got affected the most. So if any of your proprietary funds are subsidizing other funds, or if they're getting subsidies in the form of transfers, then now there's a new section that discloses that they're subsidy transfers rather than just capital transfers or specific purposes. That'll be the biggest change, is if you're subsidizing any of those funds, then that's going to be called out. So that's going to put more work on Nate, having to just separate the transfers, determining whether or not they're subsidy transfers, or like if they're transfers for other purposes, like capital equipment or debt service, things like that. So that's kind of upcoming this year. That'll be a change for the upcoming financial statements. So they will look a little bit different next year. Other than that, the audit went really smooth. Like Nate said, I had no complaints from my staff. We got all the information. I think Marcus, like I said, he had the hardest job, and Martha actually reviewed the financial statements, and she's like a Nazi when she reviews. So I kind of feel bad for Marcus having to go through all of her changes, but don't feel bad, Marcus, because she does that to mine too.
I mean, it was a lot of. I needed to capitalize a certain letter. Some letters were capitalized that shouldn't have been, or there was a comma that was missing. I mean, just little things like that.
Yeah, she's so good at reviewing that. Like, she's really good at reviewing that kind of stuff. So mine always come back bleeding. But other than that, nothing negative to report, just positive. Really, really appreciate Nate and his staff there, and appreciate Marcus getting the information to us, even though he's not on site all the time. Just real quick email returns and yeah. Any questions for me?
Yeah, on that insurance, was that one letter you're talking about where you could lose your insurance, talking about liability insurance, that you're referring to?
Yeah, it's the, what do they call it? It's your personal property. It's not personal property.
Property and yeah, liability. And
Yeah.
we have Irma, so we don't use the trust.
Okay.
Yeah. So
So it
you
doesn't
guys
matter.
aren't at risk of that. I just know that the trust is doing that. We've actually tried to talk to their auditors and to have a conversation with them, to say that's probably not the best practice, just because they're basing it on something that I don't know how much trust I really put in everybody's front. Basically, what it's doing is it's causing everybody to manipulate their scores and say that they have an internal auditor, or that they have an audit committee, or things like that that give them more points, that then their insurance is not going to get dropped, when in reality, they don't have a true audit committee, or they don't have a true internal audit on staff. That function is not working. They don't have, an external accountant that's getting, like Nate, if he's not getting the 40 hours, if you didn't have Marcus involved, things like that. So they're manipulating their score to get a higher score, when in reality they really don't have that stuff. Even though they might have other controls in place, it's not happening on the fraud risk assessment. So
Thanks. And Nate, how many days did the auditors come in, and who did you have involved from our staff?
They were on site, what, 4 days?
Yeah, 4 days.
But there was a lot more, obviously, behind the scenes with, emails and communication back and forth. But they were on site for 4 days. And we had, I mean, my whole finance staff, so five of us. And then they also talked to various other departments. Like he mentioned the court, for example. We had to get Bryce involved with with the risk disclosures. Trying to think who else. There's so much information we ask from other departments, even down to Public Works as part of compiling the financial statements with, oh, what am I looking for? The construction commitments.
The inventory and the
Yeah.
police department with their funds.
Right. So, I mean, most heavily it was probably my staff that was involved, but we definitely reached out to a number of other departments, and again, our staff was great to work with.
More intensive or similar to the past years, or can't you, or don't you really know?
I don't think it was much different. I mean, the longer I'm here, the more comfortable I get in it. So, I think it gets a little bit easier for me personally each year, but yeah, I think it was pretty similar to past years.
And it's great still having Marcus involved for that other set of eyes, and I think that's invaluable for that help that provides some assistance to the auditing team. So thanks, Marcus, for that. I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I enjoy working with the city, so.
Audit committee, other questions from other committee members? Not hearing any. Do we need some sort of approval to this to send it on to city council or anything like that?
I was just reviewing the business item for the potential motion, and this is considered by the planning commission, so I've missed that typo. So we're going to send it on. We're the planning commission now, sending on to council. I'm just kidding. I think a motion to accept this audit and recommendation that it's, I don't know, what's the proper motion?
Yeah,
I don't know.
so I put the, I mean, I can make the motion if you'd like.
Yeah, go for it.
So I'll make a motion.
Nate, before you make that, if I missed somewhere, or I've kind of been traveling this week, so is the whole audit available somewhere?
Yeah, the ACFR along with the, which includes the auditor's report, is attached to our packet.
Okay. I just apologize. I've been on the road a whole bunch, and so I'll get to that as well too.
Yeah, this whole document that we've been looking at is attached to the packet.
Okay. All right, go ahead and make that.
I'll make a motion that we recommend acceptance of the annual comprehensive financial report and independent auditor's report to the City Council.
Second.
Motion is second to further discussion. Do we want a roll call or just a yay or nay? Let's yay or nay, we okay?
Aye.
All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Do we hear aye from opposed nay? Hearing no nays, I assume that's unanimous from the audit committee members that are present. Thank you. Thank you, audit committees, for joining us. John, continue to take care of yourself. That's most important, and we'll miss having you up, but stay close to home, even if you have to go to other meetings. So, and thank your wife for caring about you so much, if I'm sure
Yeah.
you have already. So thank you. Thanks, everybody. Look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank
Aye.
you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good. We'll
Thanks
see you,
all. All right.
everybody.